We're looking through the book of Colossians, and in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to chapter 4, verse 1, Paul talks about specifics about our lives, marriages, families, employment, and that sort of thing. But I think we need the big picture. We always need the big picture. It's all about Jesus. This book is about Jesus the Christ. It was what God had in mind from the very beginning of time. Everything, this universe is about Jesus. Everything that was ever made was made through Him, by Him, and for Him. Everything. The fact that we still exist and the fact that this universe still exists is because of the power of His might and His will. He is the one who sustains everything and keeps everything going. It's all about Jesus. The book of Colossians reminds us that it's all about Jesus. That if we have Christ, we have it all. We have all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have everything we need for life, eternal life, and everything that counts. All of the treasures that we could possibly have in eternity exist in Christ. And so anyone coming along and saying there's more to it than what Jesus brought just doesn't know what they're talking about. And there's this great, big, huge picture that we have to get as Christians, that it is all about Christ. And in the beginning of chapter 3, we're reminded that we had been buried with Christ and we were raised with Christ. And because we have been raised up with Christ in our baptism, our lives are hidden with Him. We need to keep seeking the things in heaven, keep seeking the things that are above, keep our minds on the things that are above, because our life is there. Our life is hidden in Christ. Our lives are all about Christ. And from there, he talks about what a Christian life is supposed to look like. Putting off of the old stuff and putting on of the new life and the new attitudes and the new ways of doing things. We let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We do everything in word or deed, verse 17, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's all about Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Jesus changes everything. The stuff that we have down here, the problems we have down here, the pain we have down here, the sicknesses we have down here, the persecution we have down here, and all the rest of it, they don't vanish. But our lives are hidden in Christ, and we rise above it because we belong to the kingdom of heaven, not to the kingdom of this world. We have a hope that can't be taken away from us. We have a joy that can't be taken away from us. And no matter what happens to us in this life, we are victors. But we forget that, unfortunately. But that's what this book is for. It's so that we don't forget, so that we're reminded. And that's why I'm here preaching what I'm preaching. That we're reminded. That we understand that belonging to Jesus is not just come here on Sunday, pay your dues for an hour, and then leave. But it's life transforming, and it's hope giving, and it involves all of eternity. And it is meant to extend to every aspect of our lives. Now you're getting personal, preacher. Well, I'm getting personal because God's getting personal. And don't blame me. I mean, it's in here, okay? In this section of the scripture, starting in verse 18 all the way down to the end of the chapter, he's talking about everyday stuff. He's talking about marriage relationships. He's talking about parent-child relationships. And he's talking about master-slave or employer-employee relationships. And those are the very things that quite often we forget. about our spirituality when we're participating in it. I mean, isn't that typically what happens when we go off to work? It's like, you know, God's sort of left in the church building, and I leave my Bible on the pew, and I might need it later next week when I come back. But when I go to work, I'm at work. And when I'm at home, I'm at home. And when I'm dealing with the kids, I'm dealing with the kids. But yet, Christ has to transform all of that too. The Christian life that we live, the character that we're to develop, is supposed to express itself in every aspect of our lives, including our marriages, including our relationship with our parents, our relationship with our children, our relationship with the people who work for us, and our relationship for the people whom we work for. It is supposed to transform all of our relationships, whether we are the ones who are serving or whether we are the ones who are administering or being the managers or the boss. It doesn't matter. Being in Christ is supposed to transform all of that and affect all of that and reach into our lives, into every aspect of it. And so this is verses 18 and following. It deals about these things, but this isn't a disjointed section of Scripture. It's in the context of Jesus's everything. And he is to influence everything in our lives. A lot of times in Ephesians 5, this is the parallel passage, and it's a little bit bigger. But the verse immediately before this section, it says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." And he talks about these relationships that have to do with ranking under somebody or ranking over somebody. But how does that work out? Well, it works out because you have the attitude of Christ, whether you are the one who is the higher ranking one, higher, as if there is such a thing as higher ranking, but as if you're the one who has the authority or you're the one who does the service. There's a submission that goes in both directions. There's a Christ-likeness that goes in both directions. And it's the same here in Colossians. Let's read it, and then I'll look at each of these sections briefly. And I hope you'll see how it all fits together. And if we leave here with just these ideas, I will feel like we're successful. If we leave here with the idea that we're doing it all in Christ's name when we deal with our husbands and wives, when we deal with our children or our parents or with our employers or employees, I think we will have caught the idea. Verse 18, Colossians chapter 3. "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as to those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. That is the Lord, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequence of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." Notice, no matter what situation we are in, we are to let the love of Christ control us. No matter what situation we're in, we're to have the character of Christ when we're exercising that particular position. Husbands are the head of the wife. This is something that God had planned before the fall. But what kind of headship does the husband have? He has the same kind of headship that Christ has over the church. That's from Ephesians 5. Paul expands on this whole idea. But what kind of leadership is the husband expected to provide? Christ's leadership. And what kind of leadership is that about? It's a leadership of love and sacrifice. That's what it's about. It's not a leadership of, I'm the boss, Alice, and you're nothing, as Ralph Cramden would say. It's not that kind of leadership. It's a leadership that provides love for the wife and care for the wife and sacrifice for the wife, just the way Christ did for the church. It's a leadership of service, like the leadership Christ gives. It doesn't say, husbands, you make sure you keep your wives in line. It doesn't say that. Husbands, love your wives. That's what it says. That's our job. It's not our job to make sure our wives toe the line. We can't do that anyway. Can we? I mean, Jesus doesn't make us toe the line. I mean, does he? I mean, we as Christians, we want to. Why? Because he sacrificed himself for us. Why? Because he loved us. Why? Because he cares for us. Why? Because he sticks with us even when we're acting up. He loved us even when we were unlovely, and he continues to love us during those times when we still act unlovely. And that's our example, husbands. Do not become embittered against your wives. Is that any different than him telling us earlier on in this passage that we are to set aside anger, wrath, malice, and slander, and abusive speech? Or does that just apply to everybody else and not to our wives? Does not carrying a grudge apply to everybody else in the universe, but not to our wives, not to our husbands? Christ, the character of Christ, is meant to infuse our hearts and our minds and the way we treat each other. And the husbands especially are being challenged to love in the way Christ loved, whether or not our wives are acting the way they're supposed to. Therein lies the challenge. I mean, that's a challenge, isn't it? To love somebody regardless of how they treat you. To try to do what's best for them. To sacrifice them regardless of how they're performing. And what are the wives to do? Submit to their husbands as unto Christ. The picture that Christ saturates the whole thing, doesn't it? Those who submit, submit the way Christ submits. We submit as unto the Lord. Those who submit to their employer, to their slave master, how are they to submit? Remembering Christ, submitting as unto Christ. When you are under somebody else's authority, when you're under somebody else's rank, how do you treat them? With the same respect that you would treat Jesus. Why? Because they deserve it? No. A lot of these slave masters were not Christians, and they would probably knock your teeth out if you gave them any sass, and that isn't why you're doing it. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Because it's part of your service to the Lord. We submit to authority not because we're afraid of authority. We submit to authority because Jesus would have it so. We would submit because he controls us. And we know the reward comes from him. Not because we need to, brown nose the boss to get a raise or whatever else it might be. But because we're a Christian. We belong to Christ, and we do things the way Christ would do it, and we sign Christ's name to it. And so, wives, it's not saying obey your husbands or submit to your husbands if they're just like Christ. They're saying, well, no, you show respect to your husbands, whether they are or not. And it's by your behavior that your husbands, even if they're disobedient to the Lord, might be won. the ideal situation and the goal to which we are striving as husband and wives is a picture of Christ in the church. And it's a happy occasion and a happy circumstance when both the husband and the wife are sincerely working on that. And it's hard to tell. It'll be hard to tell who's submitting to whom, because both are submitting to each other. That's what it was originally designed as. And brethren, that's what we need to be working toward. How much of our lives is devoted to what am I getting out of it? What am I getting out of it? I got gypped. I'm not getting enough. I'm doing my part of the bargain, but you're not. We do that with the kids. The kids do it with us. We do it with our husbands. We do it with our wives. We do it with our boss. We do it with our employees. We're paying you and you're giving me what? And what is it all about? It's me, 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 isn't it? And what happens in Christ? What happens when we actually, our life is bound up in Christ? Well, we become in line with the whole universe. It's all about Christ. It's not all about me. It's not about how dare you insult me. How dare you inconvenience me. How dare you make my job so hard. How dare you say that to me. How dare you ask me to do that. It's not about that. It's about Christ, isn't it? It's about Christ. We do what Christ asks us to do. He's our boss. He's the one we submit to. And when we face difficulties at work, when we face difficulties in our families, whether it's parent, child, or husband, wife, we let the peace of Christ rule within us. What would Christ do? What does the love that Christ would show, how would that manifest itself? What would Christ do? There was an old blasphemous radio program years ago when I was a kid. He was making fun of religious preachers, you know, and he advertised the comic. He advertised for $9.99 you could buy cheek protectors for those who want to turn the other cheek with impunity. Well, no, we don't have cheek protectors. We just turn the other cheek. I mean, isn't that Christ's way? Not taking revenge, not holding grudges, not becoming embittered, not taking justice into our own hands, but letting the Lord do that. Doesn't it come along? Yes, when we're employees, we do have a right to quit. And we can thank God that we have a right to quit. And probably the employers thank God that they have a right to fire people too. But really, if the employers are trying to show the character of Christ in the relationship with their employees, the employees are less likely to want to quit. When the employees are serving as unto the Lord, the employers are less likely to want to let those employees go. And it's a win-win situation. And that's the way it is in Christ, isn't it? It's when we put ourselves off to the side and we put Christ in the center that things tend to snap together. It's not going to be perfect because not everybody's doing that. And so because not everybody's doing that, we're going to get some smacks. But this is the way Jesus has planned it. And we're to do it the way he wants regardless, aren't we? And this is our challenge. We don't just look at this and say, okay, well, this is a bunch of rules we've got to follow for this particular situation. God wants Jesus, the character that Jesus is forming within us, to show itself throughout our lives. So, my challenge to all of us, myself included, because I need to remember this just as much as you do, is that when we're dealing with things at home, remember that we are Christians and that we belong to Christ, and we let Christ rule in our hearts. We show the love of Christ as we treat our husband and our wife and our children, to understand that our Christianity goes into the workplace and every aspect of our lives, whether we're driving or whether we're telephoning or emailing or whatever we do, that He has claim to all of it, not just a little piece of it. And it does get personal. It gets personal for all of us. But why shouldn't it? Because it's eternal. It claims all of us, but we get everything because of what Jesus did for us. If you have any requests, if you want to put Christ down in baptism and start this walk, please let us know. If you have any other requests, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.